Dominic Meyer, could you come up here? I need your help. Some of you know that this past week, I suddenly on Monday got a really bad sinus infection. And I went home mid-afternoon and stayed home Tuesday and Wednesday. Couldn't teach my class. And then I went to work Thursday and Friday, but I'm still pretty weak and out of breath. And I'm having a hard time. I don't think I could hold a pitcher of water and a glass at the same time. So that's where you're going to help me, okay? So why don't you stand over here, just right over there by the pulpit. And I want you to take this. Now, I know some of you are saying, now, what's that, Don? That looks like a beer stein. I drink coffee out of it, okay? That's what that's for, all right? Okay, now I need you to hold it real steady. Can you do that? This is not prayer. Okay, that's not prayer. Now, can you pour that back in there? A little bit faster. It's running down the side. There we go. Okay. Now, can you hold two of them? Think you can do that? They're heavy glasses. This is not prayer. So I get a little heavy. Okay, I'll put this down here and you can pour those right back in there. Or how about if I take one? There we go. A little bit bigger container. This is not prayer. Whoa, I came kind of close there, didn't I? Do you know why this is not prayer? There's still water in there. All right, Dominic, if you can pour that back in there. Good job, Dominic. Okay, stay right there. Here's a handle. This is prayer. That's prayer. Okay. Can we pour that back in here? All right, good job, Dominic. I really needed that help today. Please open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 1. What did you just see me do? Well, with the single glass or mug, and then the second illustration with the two mugs, and then the smaller pitcher, I held something back. But with the bucket, I didn't hold anything back. I poured out all the water into the bucket. I want to show you from 1 Samuel, just going right to the opening chapter, prayer in the life of a woman by the name of Hannah. I want you to watch how she conducts herself in prayer, how she backs up her prayer with her life, and how she pours out something before the Lord. In verses 1 through 5, the Bible introduces us first to her husband, Elkanah, who was from a certain mountainous region of the tribe of Ephraim, because he was an Ephraimite. This man had two wives, Peninnah and Hannah. Peninnah had sons and daughters. But the Bible tells us that the Lord had closed the womb of Hannah. And so he blessed both of his wives. He loved them both. He blessed Peninnah and her children. But because he had an especially great love for Hannah, and probably the fact that she had not had any children yet, he gave her a double blessing. Then in verses 6 through 8, we learn that there's a little problem. That her co-wife, I suppose you would call her, provoked her severely, making her miserable, verse 6 says, because the Lord had closed her womb. She's mocking her. She's making fun of her. She's putting her down. 7. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Although the Lord had closed her womb, Hannah loved the Lord, making this annual trip to Shiloh, not Jerusalem, where the tabernacle was in those days. But as you can see, her rival, as the Bible calls her, provoked her, putting her down because she couldn't have children. And that grieved Hannah so much so that she just couldn't even eat. And that grieved her husband, who loved her, but he took it personally, questioning her love for him, and I suppose even questioning his love for her. You think I don't love you or something, or what? 9 through 11. Hannah held nothing back. So here it says that after the family had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, that evidently she went to the tabernacle where Eli the priest was sitting on a seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And verse 10 says that she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow, verse 11 says, and she said this, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life and no razor shall come upon his head. So here is prayer. First, she brought the bitterness of her soul to the Lord. Because she knew He's the one who rules the universe. And He was also the one who could open up her womb. Second, she wept in prayer because this woman had anguish in her soul. And if we can't turn to the Lord when we have anguish, when we just need to cry and let the tears flow, then when can we do it? So she did it. And third, she promised something to the Lord. You know, we want from Him, God, give me this, give me that, I want this and that. Do this for me. Okay, fine. What about giving to Him? And that's what she said here. It says, Lord, if you give me this, here's what I'll give you. Remember the pitcher full of water and all of it going into the bucket. 12 through 18. It says that it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Because she spoke in her heart, verse 13, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. Why did he think that? Why can't it be that she's just... Why can't she just think that this lady's praying? We all do that. Haven't you ever spoken, maybe even, you're not even praying, you're just speaking to yourself, or you're having a discussion with someone to yourself, and your lips are moving, and if someone saw you, they might think you're weird or something, I don't know. But why did he think she was drunk? Okay, 14. So Eli said to her, "How long will you be drunk? Put away your wine from you." But Hannah, her response is so beautiful. What a beautiful woman she was. Watch what she says, what she does, and also, for that matter, what she does not do and does not say. Verse 15. But Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maid servant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now." And Eli's eyes were open, so he said to her, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition you have asked of him." And again, look at her. "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." Now watch this. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. You know, sometimes people misunderstand vows, prayers, and other parts of religion. And, you know, if someone ever misunderstands why you come and worship, why you read the Bible, why you do good things for other people who are mean to you, or whatever it is, you know, do what she did. Don't become impatient, but just explain what you're doing and show respect. And perhaps you'll get a response in return just like she did from Eli. Now listen to Hannah on prayer. Here's more about prayer. First, it is going to the Lord when you have a sorrowful spirit. Your pitcher is full. And it gets heavy holding a pitcher of water. How long can you hold it? Second, and this is the part that I really want you to notice, is she poured out her soul to the Lord. We can do that in prayer. I mean, He knows what's in the soul anyways, doesn't He? He created the soul, and from what I see in Scripture, He knows exactly what's going on in there. He knows those things with which I struggle. He knows what has me upset. He knows why I cry. He knows what breaks my heart. He knows my afflictions. He knows what my complaints are. So why hold it in? Why keep all the water in the pitcher? Why not just pour it all out? Not some of it, because I just might get some of an answer back. No, pour the whole soul out of you before the Lord. Let Him see it all. Thirdly, notice the abundance of her complaint and grief moved her to seek the Lord. That's what her thoughts were. Something's troubling me. My life is not what I want it to be. I'll go to the Lord about it. And fourth, after telling someone about her prayer, although she didn't give the details, and after pouring out her soul to the Lord, she no longer had bitterness, anguish, affliction, complaints, or grief. I just love that last part there, verse 18, that her face was no longer sad because she had emptied the contents of her soul to one who could handle these things. It was too much for her. You know, we can handle a lot as humans, but we can't handle everything. At least I can't. I feel like Hannah. Don't you? It's not just Hannah and me, is it? Huh. You know, there's just times in our lives when there's a problem or there's an issue or there's a conflict or something, and I just cannot carry it anymore. So here's this God who resides in heaven, who's big enough to create the heavens and the earth. Can he carry my little puny problems in comparison? Yes. So that's what we need to do. She poured out the things that were in her pitcher into the Lord's bucket. Dominic, I need you again. Mr. Dominic. Okay. I need you to hold that. Now, how long do you think you can hold that? Do you think if I just keep preaching the rest of my sermon and you just stand there that you could hold it the whole time? Maybe. How about if you just do it with one hand? No. It's just a little too much. Okay. All right. And I can do it. Why? Well, although I got gray hair and I'm losing some and I've been sick this week, I'm stronger than he is at the present time. If he's going to be like his dad, then you know he'll be a lot stronger than me before too much longer. But even after a while, I can't hold this. It's going to be too much for me. And so I can pour it right back into the bucket, God's bucket, and he's even bigger than I am and stronger than all of us combined, right? Thanks again, Dominic. I really appreciate your help. So I think to myself, why is it that we go around carrying our full pitchers? You know, some people do that. And they're filled with bitterness of soul and anguish and affliction and complaints and grief. All those things that she initially had. And I almost wonder if sometimes some people enjoy that. Including Christians. And we know there's this great God up there who cares about us. But for some reason, I'm going to carry it around. Are we stubborn or something, or full of pride? I don't know. We're just, we don't, maybe we think we don't have the time or something. Or maybe we're afraid. You know, who knows what the reason is. But look at the Lord now and Hannah in verses 19 and 20. Then they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. He saw this wonderful woman pour out all the grief of her soul and just dump it on him. And that touched him evidently because he remembered her. 20. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. Finally, Hannah has a child. In particular, a male child That's what she wanted, and the Lord gave it to her because she gave him what he wanted. Her whole heart, soul, body, mind, spirit, and strength. And she promised that he would be a Nazarite. When she talked about no razor ever coming over his head, you know, that's what that was all about. He's going to be a Nazarite. This is the background to one of the greatest men the Lord has ever given to the world. The last judge of Israel. And the Bible focuses as much on him, or perhaps more than any other judge of Israel. And the Lord used him to anoint the first two kings of Israel, and the second of those two kings became perhaps the greatest king this world has ever seen. So much so that God himself used that second king as a type of the Messiah. Samuel had a big influence in that young man's life. So the Lord remembered Hannah, and Hannah remembered the Lord, honoring him with the naming of her son. Okay, look at the name Samuel. See the E-L on the end? That's a shortened form of Elohim, one of the Hebrew words for God. You'll see that in many of the Old Testament names. Okay, so Samuel's name means heard of God. So we refer to him as Samuel, or maybe you've even known a Samuel before. We say Samuel, but we're not really saying what the word means. Yes, she would say Samuel in Hebrew, but what she was really saying, every time she called him for dinner when he was younger, before she gave him to the Lord, or whatever it was, she referred to him as heard of God. That's how she referred to him, heard of God. Every time she said any kind of reference to him, it was heard of God. That was his name. This woman meant what she said in prayer, and she lived her prayers. Look at 21 through 25. She kept her promise. Now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up. For she said to her husband, "Not until the child is weaned, then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever." So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seems best to you until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word." Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Now look at verse 24. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bowls, one ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. They slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. Okay, when this woman prayed, it wasn't for the short term. It was for the long term. She knew that what she prayed was forever. And as the mother, she of course had to wean him. And then when that was done, she was ready to give him up forever to the Lord. He would now live in Shiloh, not with her at Ramah. She wanted him so desperately, but she saw that the Lord kept his word, so she kept her word. Prayer is expecting God to keep his word and expecting yourself to keep your word. 26 to 28. And she said to Eli, "O my Lord, as my soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition which I have asked of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." So they worshiped the Lord there. This woman believed that the Lord was her everything. Her life was wrapped up in the Lord. And so that's why she poured out her soul to the Lord. Since the Lord poured out a blessing to her, she poured out the same blessing right back to Him. Amazing. And she appeared to have no regrets about it. Prayer is meaning what you say and saying what you mean. Now, watch this next prayer that she offers. I want you to notice the emphasis of her prayer and her wording. This is very important. Chapter 2. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies." Peninnah. She just smiled at her. "Because I rejoice in your salvation, yours, Lord. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumbled are girded with strength. Those who are full have hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren have borne 7. And she who has many children has become feeble. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. The Lord brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of His saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven He will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to His king and exalt the horn of His anointed." Man, I think that's absolutely beautiful. Prayer is not believing in yourself. It's believing in the Lord. Therefore, almost every sentence of that prayer was about the Lord. Did you notice that? She was an educated woman. Yet in prayer, she glorified not herself, but the Lord. She focused her life on the Lord. And I think this prayer showed that she poured out her soul again. So it must be that the prayer for a male child was not the first or only or last time that she poured out her soul to the Lord. And what did the Lord give? Not only to this woman, but to the whole world through this woman? The man Samuel. And then finally, verse 11 simply says, "Then Elkanah went to his house at Ramah, but the child ministered at before the Lord, before Eli the priest." God bless Elkanah. He supported his wife 100%. They worshiped the Lord together. You know, he also gave up a son. It wasn't just her son. It was his too. And you know that he loved Samuel as much as his other children. But he honored the life of his godly wife. You have seen today in the passage of Scripture that I've shown to you that in prayer you must pour out your soul before the Lord. That whatever sorrows fill your soul, you can go to the Lord about them. That He will grant your requests, that He expects you to keep your promises, and that you just might bless the world in ways you never imagined. However, a poured out soul in prayer comes first from a life that has been poured out to the Lord. Such prayers flow naturally from a life that's already been poured out to the Lord. Jesus of Nazareth is the Lord. Pour your life, pour your soul out to Him. If you do that, it'll lead you away from your sin. It'll lead you to the water of baptism, where He will wash away all of your sins. And then you can continue to offer up to Him your soul in prayer and in other ways that the Bible instructs. If you're ready to do that this morning, please, by all means, come forward right now as we stand and sing.